Thank you to Warwick and to Angie for those two readings. Today we begin our new sermon series in the Old Testament book of Joshua. And as we'll see, Joshua is a hope-filled book that teaches us much about God and his faithfulness, especially his faithfulness in fulfilling his promise to give his people rest. So as we begin, let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words and your faithfulness in keeping every promise that you make. We pray that as we dig into the book of Joshua together in the term ahead, that you will grow our trust in you as we see the fulfillment of all your promises in Christ. Encourage us in the rest that we have found in Christ and fill us with hope as we look forward to receiving our heavenly inheritance. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to begin, let me ask you the question. What do you think of when you think of rest? Holidays? It's probably holidays, is it? What was that one?
Sleep.
Sleep. I think of holidays, such as our recent break in Hawk's Nest. You know, being able to slow right down, stop running from one place to another, spend time together as a family, enjoy beautiful weather, enjoy the ocean, enjoy the trees and the birds in the trees, and just stop and rest in that way. Perhaps you think of similar things. Well, for the Old Testament people of God, Israel, when they thought of rest, they thought of the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey, as the Old Testament put it. A land of abundant blessing, of life lived to the full, enjoying peace and prosperity in the presence of their God. Oh, there's Hawk's Nest. That was the last holidays. That's not a bad photo from a camera, from a phone, is it? Just a phone camera. Beautiful sunset there over the river. The biblical context. The book of Joshua opens with Israel on the edge of the promised land. On the horizon beyond the Jordan River was Canaan. Their dream was so close to becoming their reality. For over 400 years, Israel had longed to enter into God's rest. From the time of Abraham, Israel's great forefather to whom God had first promised the land. Through 400 years of crushing slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt, followed by the Exodus, God's almighty redemption of his people from Egypt through his servant Moses, and then the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, a journey that should have only taken 14 days, that took 40 years because of unbelief, and that whole Exodus generation falling short of the land, including the Lord's great servant, Moses. He fell short too, didn't he? He didn't enter the promised land. But not Joshua or his friend Caleb. Yep, well done. They had been faithful. And Joshua had served well as Moses' assistant. But now Moses was dead. A great man was no longer there to lead the people. It was Joshua's turn. And I should just say that this is the 16th century BC, around the 16th century BC. So God's commission. Having set the scene, the book of Joshua opens with the Lord's commission of Joshua. In verse 2, the Lord says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Big promises in those verses. What are the biggest promises that you have ever made? Assume that if you are married, like I am, you think of your wedding day and the promises you made that day. Wedding vows are big promises. Debbie and I made some pretty big promises together when our daughters Hannah and Amelia were baptised. We promised to raise them in the faith of Jesus. Being ordained as a minister, I made some pretty hefty promises at my ordination service. We kind of make promises all the time. When we sign a contract, we make certain promises. Some of them are really big ones, and there are two big promises, and big's probably an understatement, massive promises that God makes to Joshua at his commissioning service. Firstly, have I got it there? I don't. I will give you the land. That's an immense promise. Joshua, the land I promised to your forefathers, I'm going to give it to you and my people Israel. Don't worry about the fact that you'll have to cross the River Jordan to enter into it. Don't worry about the fact that it's inhabited by the nations. There are people living there with armies. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you. That's a big promise, isn't it? And secondly, I will be with you. You and your army may be weak and puny compared to the forces east of the Jordan, but none will be able to stand against you. I will be with you to give you victory. Another immense promise. So right off the bat, the book of Joshua teaches us that our God is a God who makes big promises. In particular, he is a God who promises to give his people rest. In the Old Testament, that rest is found in the promised land of Canaan. In the New Testament, that rest is found in the heavenly kingdom. In the Old Testament, God is with his servant Joshua to lead his people into that rest. In the New Testament, God is with his son Jesus to lead us into his rest. You can see the parallel. In fact, as we will see more fully in a moment, it is the Lord Jesus who promises us rest and is willing to give us rest even now. But before we think more about that, I want us to see that God also gives Joshua two big commands to obey. I don't have that there either. Okay, so two big promises and two big commands. The first is be strong and courageous. You would have noticed as the chapter was read for us by Warwick, so helpfully, that a number of times over, God commands Joshua to be strong and courageous. And we know that command. We hear that command. We see it on little kind of cards and other little Christian knickknacks and so on. People like that verse, be strong and courageous. I find it interesting because God promises to be with Joshua and to give him the land, but that does not mean that Joshua just kind of sits on his hands and does nothing. God will fulfill his promise through Joshua's strength and courage in battle. And Joshua can be strong and courageous knowing that God will fulfill his promise to be with him and give him the land. See how those two things, God's promise and our faithful obedience, work together. It's similar when we think about the growth of the church in the New Testament era. The Lord Jesus promises, I will build my church. And he promises that in the task of making disciples of all nations, I will be with you always. Those two promises don't mean that we as his church sit on our hands and do nothing. Knowing that he will fulfill his promise to build his church and that he is indeed with us always by his Spirit, we faithfully obey the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations, starting right here in Terry Hills and Duffy's Forest. So this is, I think, is a really important lesson for us from Joshua chapter 1. God fulfills his promises through the faithful obedience of his people. And this is reinforced in verse 7 The Lord says to Joshua, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Faithful obedience is what the Lord requires. Life is about to get very hectic for Joshua. He is going to have his hands full leading the nation, leading its army in conquest. But his God-given priority is this, that he will be meditating on God's word day and night. He's not to be too busy for this. His mind is to be so filled with God's word that it's always on his lips. It's what he's talking about. It's what he's thinking about, God's word, God's promises, God's faithfulness, God's redemption, God's commands, and how they apply to the many and varied situations that he and his people are about to face. Most importantly, he's not to be just all talk about God's word. He is to be a doer of God's word. And this is a challenge to us as well as God's people today. We say life's very busy. Life's a bit hectic at the moment. There's a lot happening. I've got quite a bit on my plate, and the priority of God's word in our life kind of gets demoted. But God wants his word to be at the top of our list of priorities. Actually, it's probably better to say he wants his word to be at the center of every aspect of our life. And he wants that for us, for our own good. For our own good. I didn't read the end of verse 8 here, but it is clear that faithful obedience for Joshua will result in a good outcome for him and his people. I guess it's there in verse 7, that you may be successful wherever you go. Same's true for us. Faithful obedience to the word of our Lord Jesus, especially his great command to love God and to love our neighbour. That may at times be costly for us. It may be hard for us at times, just as it was for the Lord Jesus. But faithful obedience will always be for our ultimate good. God gives us his commands for our good. Responding to God's commission. We'll have to wait and see whether or not Joshua keeps these two big commands of God. But if the rest of chapter 1 is anything to go by, he's definitely heading in the right direction. Immediately, Joshua responds to the Lord's commission, getting the people ready to cross the Jordan, to go in and take possession of the land. And responding to God's servant, the people respond wholeheartedly to their new leader in verse 16, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go, just as we fully obeyed Moses." Uh-oh. they didn't always obey Moses, so we will obey you. Good intentions. Wholehearted intentions, perhaps. As I said earlier, Joshua's commission teaches us much about our leader, Jesus. As God's servant, God will be with Joshua to lead Israel into the rest of the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. And as God's son, God is with Jesus to lead us, whether we're Jew or non-Jew, into the rest of the heavenly kingdom. Just as Joshua was to be strong and courageous, obeying God's will in everything, so our Lord Jesus was obedient to death, even death on a cross. As our leader, he endured the cross, knowing the eternal joy that would follow. He pioneers the way for us into the heavenly rest. And just as the people responded wholeheartedly to their new leader, Joshua, so we are to respond to our Saviour King. "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." As I conclude, I want us to consider more deeply the rest that the Lord Jesus offers us today. I think that there is a great deal of restlessness and discontent in our community. Beyond Blue tells us that anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia. On average, one in four people, one in three women and one in five men will experience anxiety at some stage in their life. In a 12-month period, over 2 million Australians experience anxiety. And according to some research conducted by the University of Melbourne, the average life satisfaction score for Australians was about 7.92, that's pretty precise, not about, oh, this is a quote, 7.92 on the 0 to 10 scale, which I don't think is terrible, is it? 7.92 out of 10, that's not terrible in terms of life satisfaction. But interestingly, the youngest, 15 to 24s, and oldest, 65 and over, have the highest life satisfaction, whereas Australians in the 35 to 44 and 45 to 54 age brackets are consistently the least satisfied with their lives. People shaking their heads, one or two nods. I think as people try to find meaning and purpose in money and material possessions, and their work, career, their leisure, relationships, they find a vacuum in their life, the vacuum being a spiritual one. As life moves so fast and we are overwhelmed with options and choices and are unclear about what direction to take, where it's all heading, we find ourselves restless, always searching, never finding the answer. But into that restlessness, Jesus makes this promise. And we heard it read earlier by Angie, but let me share it with you again. It's a wonderful promise. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And he is able to deliver on that promise because this day our risen Lord is able to forgive us our sins because he died for us. He can give us peace with God. He can take away our guilt. He can give us sure and certain hope, certainty in an uncertain world. He can give us real meaning and purpose, the purpose and meaning we were created for. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see in that promise that the rest that Jesus offers is not just future, it is present. Rest for your souls now. Our bodies need rest. Our mind needs rest. Taking a day off, getting away for a holiday is good for us. We can physically refresh. We can mentally refresh. But the most restful of holidays won't give me rest for my soul, unless we focus on Jesus in that time. If we find ourselves restless, I suggest that it is because we have taken our eyes off the one who promises and delivers on his promise to give us rest. I take it that we have lost that sense of whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. A wholehearted response to the Lord comes when we know the rest he offers. And knowing that he is with us by his Spirit, we are then bold, we are strong and courageous in offering his rest to the world. Let's sing together now in response to what we've just heard.